We're up to Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Laws of Torah Study. In most Rambams, that will be on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, page 52. The Rambam discusses in this chapter the laws relating to nidui, excommunication, what that means exactly, when it's practiced, and various details concerning that. Halacha Aleph. Chacham Zaken v'chachma. A sage who is extremely learned. Chinasi Olaf Beisdin, or the president of the court, or the Av Beisdin, the leader of the court, Shesarach, who did something wrong. Eimenadin also befrahesi aliolam. You never excommunicate them publicly. Elim kenasa kiravim benavat v'chaberav. Unless he did something very bad, like Yeravim benavat, the king of Israel who led the people into idolatry, and his fellows, something terrible like that, then you would excommunicate him publicly. Aval kashachat shachatos, but if he did other sins, malkan also betzina, you give him a flogging, but also in private, not to publicly humiliate him, since he's such a great scholar. Shenemar, as it says, v'chashalta hayom, you will stumble in the day, v'chashal gandavi imcha laila, and the prophet will also stumble with you at night. So we interpret it this way. Afalpi shekashal kiseu kalaila. Even when he stumbles, cover him up like the night. Don't make a public issue out of it. V'amimlo, we tell him, hachbeid, honor yourself, v'shav b'vescha, and sit in your house. In other words, if we don't want him coming in, we don't publicly force him out, but we just quietly tell him not to show up. Similarly, a scholar, even if he's not the greatest scholar, and he did something for which the punishment is excommunication, as we learned in the previous chapter, what those things are, it's forbidden for the Beis Din to hurry and to excommunicate him quickly. They run away from this and they try to get out of it. That should only be a last resort. The pious ones among the sages, especially pious ones, Hayim Mishtabchim, used to praise themselves or were proud of the fact that they never joined together to issue an excommunication against a Talmud Chacham. Even though they would be counted in on finding that he is liable to a flogging if he deserves it. Even Makas Mardis, which is the flogging that you get for breaking a rabbinic law, you also can join up in together and be counted on to administer that punishment or to judge that he deserves that punishment if he does in fact deserve it. What is the formula of the excommunication? Omer, he says, Ploni yehei b'shamta. So-and-so should be in a state of shamta, excommunication. V'nidu b'fonav, if it's done in his presence, Amalo ploni zeh b'shamta. You say, Ploni, this person, Zev, this one. In other words, so-and-so, this one, should be in a state of excommunication. A cherem, there's a stronger form of excommunication, will soon be explained, known as cherem. Amalo, he says the expression, Ploni muhram, so-and-so is in a state of cherem. The aror, and cursed, bo ola, bo shvua, bo nidui. In him is a oath, and an excommunication, and so on. That's the formula used for the cherem. Halacha Gimel, v'keitzad matirin hanidui acherim. How do we lift up the excommunication called nidui, or that called cherem? Amalal, they say to him, sharilach u'machalach. It is permitted for you, and it is forgiven to you. You're forgiven. V'mitirush lebefanav. If the lifting of the ban is done not in his presence, amalal, they say, ploni sharilach u'machalach. So and so, it is forgiven and is permitted. Halacha Dalet. Ma'a minik sheyinag amenuda ba'atzmo shnal ganimo. What is the practice that the person who is in a state of excommunication should practice himself and that others should in their relationship with him? Menuda asa l'saper l'chabes ka'avul kol yimei niduyav. As long as he's excommunicated, he should not cut his hair or wash his clothing just as a mourner. V'mezanan olav, you don't count him in on a mezuman, the grace after meals. L'kolon l'nosu basar l'chol dovash atzor chasar. You don't count him for 10, for anything that needs 10, for
Kedusha or Kaddish and so on. L'yoshanimo barbam amos, you don't sit together with him within 4 cubits. Al-Vashanu l'acherim, but he can teach others. V'shanu l'on, you can teach him. V'niskar, and he can be hired. V'socher, and he can hire others. V'imeis, v'nidui, if he dies still in the state of excommunication. V'izdin sholchanu manichan evan al arono, Beis Din sends and puts a stone on his coffin. Koma, that is to say, shinrogum also, they symbolically stone him. Because he is separated from the congregation. It goes without saying that he is not eulogized. His coffin is not accompanied during the funeral. The state of cherem is even stronger. He doesn't teach others. In shon alone, you do not teach him. He can study himself, so that he shouldn't forget his studies. You don't hire him or be hired by him. You do not do business with him. You are involved financially with him only just a little bit, enough to sustain him. You don't want him to starve, but only the minimum. If someone sat in a state of excommunication for 30 days and he did not ask that it be lifted, then he is excommunicated a second time. If he sat another 30 days and he didn't ask for the ban to be lifted, also then the stricter excommunication known as cherem is imposed upon him. Zayin b'kama matir nidayo acherem. How many people do you need to lift the ban, either the nidur or the cherem type of ban? V'shlosho 3, afilo idiotos, even plain people. V'yochad mumcha matir nidur yo cherem levado. An expert, scholar, even an individual can lift the nidur or the cherem ban. V'yishu talmud lahatir nidur yo cherem v'afilo b'mkoma rav. A student is allowed to lift the nidur ban or the cherem ban even in the presence of his rabbi. We learned before that he's not allowed to render legal decisions in the presence of his rabbi, but the lifting of the cherem ban is permitted. The rabbi comments, Amar Avraham, Zeh Eino Kein. He argues on what the Rambam says. The same amount of people who issued the ban and the same level has to be maintained in lifting the ban, the same number and the same quality of people. Now it's possible that this is if they want to lift the ban within the time in which it was imposed. But if there's a certain time limit after which, that it's finished already, then the Rambam would be right that any three, or even an individual who is an expert, can lift the ban. Inami, another interpretation. If an individual, even not a great scholar, issued the excommunication because this person was sinning, then when that time is up, since it was issued by an individual, it can be lifted up either by three plain people or by one expert. If the ban was placed on him by many, not by an individual, but by the court itself, then you need just as many in order to remove this ban. Apparently the Rambam does not agree with this and feels that in any case you do not necessarily need the same number to remove the ban. Halachates. Shlosha shenidu v'holchu lahem v'chazer zeh midova shenidol beglalo. Three people excommunicated someone and they went on their way. Now the person who was excommunicated relented from the bad thing that he had done. So three other people can come, umatir and lo, and they can lift this ban for him. If someone doesn't know who issued an excommunication against him, you should go to the president of the court, the Nasi, who will lift the ban for him. If you make a conditional ban, even if you did that upon yourself, you excommunicated yourself, it still has to be nullified. If a sage issued an excommunication against himself, even if he did it according to the opinion of someone else, in other words, he says, I am excommunicated based on the view and knowledge of so-and-so, and even if he did this, not just because he felt he deserved it, but because he actually did something that was worthy of excommunication, still, since he instituted, he can lift the ban itself, himself. The rabbi argues, he says, Amar Avram Zeno Machver, this is not correct. In Cain, Yehuda Lamalo Hitul Atzmo, if so, why didn't Yehuda, who issued an excommunication that he would be excommunicated if he didn't bring back Binyamin, and we find, according to the teaching of the Gemara, that the excommunication was never lifted. Why couldn't he lift it himself? Because Ekoshali Yaakov Lamalo Hitiro. There's another question, why didn't Yaakov lift the ban? The ban was made to and through Yaakov. So why didn't Yaakov lift the ban? The Rabbi has, that's a question even not according to the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah answers this and he says that Yehuda made the ban upon himself if he would not bring back Binyamin. So he couldn't just lift it up. He had to do something. A ban that is issued against yourself, you can take away. But here it was issued provided that he does a certain thing. So he had to do the certain thing. And he couldn't lift up the ban before doing that thing. As far as why Yaakov didn't lift up the Nidui, because the Mishnah suggests that since Yehuda did fulfill what he was supposed to do, Yaakov didn't feel that it was necessary to remove the ban since he kept his promise. Lochid Beis, Mishnidah B'chalayim, if someone had a dream in which he was excommunicated, Filu Yada Mishnidah, even if he knows who did it, a certain person in his dream, still, Sarachasar B'nei Adam, Shashon, Malach, Satir Miniduyev, you need 10 people who study the Halacha, scholars, to lift the ban. If he didn't find them, go searching for them till a parsa, for meal. Lomatza, if he doesn't find them, Matirim Lo, Filo Sar Shoshana Mishnah, even 10 who don't know the Halacha, but who just do study the Mishnah. Lomatza, Matirim Lo, Sar Shiyadim Likos B'Torah, you don't find 10 Mishnah scholars, you find 10 who could at least read the Torah. Lomatza, Matirim Lo, Filo, Sar Shiyadim Yodin Likos, you can't find them, you get 10 who could at least read, period. Lomatza, B'mkom Asara, he doesn't find 10 at all. Even 3 people can remove the chayrim. Halacha Yud Gimel, Mishnah Dal Bafanav, and Matirlo Al Bafanav. If someone was excommunicated in his own presence, the ban must be lifted from him when he is there. Nidush Al Bafanav. If they issued the excommunication not in his presence, Matirlo Al Bafanav, then they can remove it either in his presence or Shlal Bafanav or not in his presence. They need a lafar klum. There no time need elapse between the excommunication and the lifting of it. You can issue the excommunication and remove it in an instant if the person who is excommunicated changes his ways and becomes good. If the Beis Din sees that it's fit to leave this person in a state of excommunication for many years, they leave him so according to his wickedness. If Beis Din sees that in the first place they should issue the harsher type of excommunication known as the cherem, or to issue a cherem on anyone who eats or drinks with him, or upon anyone who stands within his 4 cubits, they may issue the cherem in order to punish him, to make a fence for the Torah so that the sinners should not do evil. Even though a sage has the right to issue an excommunication for his honor, it isn't praiseworthy for a scholar to do this. He should remove his ears from the words of the ignorant person. He shouldn't put his heart to it. As King Solomon said in his wisdom, to all things that are spoken, don't put your heart to it. And this was the way of the early pious people. They heard their insults and they did not respond. Not only that, they actually forgive the person who cursed them. Not only don't they issue an excommunication against him, but they really forgive him. When the great sages used to describe their good deeds, the Yomrim, they used to say, that they had never excommunicated with a nidui or with a cherem anyone for their own honor. This is the way of the sages that it is fit and proper to follow. When do we say that a sage should better not issue an excommunication against someone who dishonored him? If he insulted him or cursed him privately. If a sage was insulted or cursed by a person openly, publicly, he's not allowed to forgive his honor. If he forgives him, he is punished. Because this is a shame to the Torah. Even if he's personally willing to forgive, but this person insulted not just him as an individual, but since it wasn't public, he insulted what this sage stands for, that is the Torah. And if you don't stand up for the honor of the Torah, then you are worthy of punishment. She should take revenge and remember this thing like a snake. Until this person asks for forgiveness and then he'll forgive him. The Gemara says that a sage must take revenge like a snake. What does that mean? Is that right? So according to the Rambam, it's very understandable. Not for his own honor. For his own honor, on the contrary, he should forgive. But when the Torah was put to shame, then he has an obligation to see to it that that person is penalized until he asks for forgiveness.